Interludes. Pooley, Elista, Benley. Interlude 1. Pooley. Pooley, the lighthouse keeper, tried not to let everyone know how excited he was for this new storm. It was truly tragic. Truly tragic. He told Sokken this as she wept. She had thought herself quite high and blessed when she'd landed her new husband. She'd moved into the man's fine stone hut in a prime spot for growing a garden behind the northern cliffs of the town. Pooley gathered scraps of wood blown eastward by the strange storm and piled them in his little cart. He pulled it with two hands, leaving Sokken to weep for her husband. Up to three now, she was, all lost at sea. Truly tragic. Still, he was excited for the storm. He pulled his cart past other broken homes here, where they should have been sheltered west of the cliffs. Pooley's grandfather had been able to remember when those cliffs hadn't been there. Kalek himself had broken apart the land in the middle of a storm, making a new prime spot for homes. Where would the rich people put their houses now? And they did have rich people here in town, never mind what the travelers on the ocean said. Those would stop at this little port on the crumbling eastern edge of Roshar and shelter from storms in their cove alongside the cliffs. Pooley pulled his cart past the cove. Here, one of the foreigner captains, with long eyebrows and tan skin, rather than the proper blue skin, was trying to make sense of her ruined ship. It had been rocked in the cove, struck by lightning, then smashed back against the stones. Now only the mast was visible. Truly tragic, Pooley said. He complimented the captain on the mast, though. It was a very nice mast. Pooley picked up a few planks from the broken ship that had washed onto the shore of the cove, then threw them into his cart. Even if it had destroyed many a ship, Pooley was happy for this new storm. Secretly happy. Had the time finally come that his grandfather had warned of? The time of changes? When the men from the hidden island of the origin at last came to reclaim Natanatan? Even if not, this new storm brought him so much wood. Scraps of rock buds, branches from trees. He gathered it all eagerly, piling his cart high, then pulled it past fissures and huddles, trying to decide how they'd survive in a world with storms from both directions. Fishers didn't sleep away the weeping like lazy farmers. They worked it, for there were no winds. Lots of bailing, but no winds. Until now. A tragedy, he told Aulam, while helping him clear the refuse of his barn. Many of the boards ended up in Pooley's cart. A tragedy, he agreed with Himadak as he watched her children so she could run a broth to her sister, who was sick with the fever. A tragedy, he told the Drummer brothers, as he helped them pull a tattered sail from the surf and stretch it out on the rocks. At last Pooley finished his rounds and pulled his little cart up the long, twisting road toward Defiance. That was his name for the lighthouse. Nobody else called it that, because to them it was just the lighthouse. At the top, he left out an offering of fruit for Kalek, the herald who lived in the storm. Then he pulled his wagon into the room on the bottom floor. Defiance wasn't a tall lighthouse. He'd seen paintings of the sleek, fashionable ones down along Longbrow's Straits. Lighthouses for rich folks who sailed ships that didn't catch fish. Defiance was only two stories tall and built squat, like a bunker. But she had good stonework and a buffer of creme on the outside kept her from leaking. She'd stood for over 100 years, and Kalek hadn't decided to knock her down. The Stormfather knew how important she was. Pooley carried a load of wet stormwood and broken boards up to the top of the lighthouse, where he set them out beside the fire, which burned low during the day, to dry. He dusted off his hands, then stepped up to the rim of the lighthouse. At night, the mirrors would shine the light right out through this hole. He looked over the cliffs to the east. His family was a lot like the lighthouse themselves, squat, short, but powerful. And enduring.
"They'll come with light in their pockets," Grandfather had said. "They'll come to destroy. But you should watch for them anyway, because they'll come from the origin. The sailors lost on an infinite sea. You keep that fire high at night, Pooley. You burn it bright until the day they come. They'll arrive when the night is darkest."
Surely that was now, with a new storm. Darkest nights, a tragedy, and a sign.